I want to speak tonight on obviously the subject of prayer, but I want to do an acrostics. I had a secular education as a young person, but I still can spell prayer. You know, in our schools today, they don't teach much about how to spell, but I think I can do it today. What is prayer? Taking each letter, P-R-A-Y-E-R, what is prayer? I hope it will be a help to you tonight. I like that clock. I've been in many churches where they don't have one, but he decided that no one can miss it if you're up here preaching. So I want you to think with me, what is prayer? First of all, prayer is a priority that must become a habit. I want you to go to the book of Daniel, two different references. The first one is chapter 6, when Daniel prayed. And we find over here in verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and he prayed and gave thanks, get this, before his God, what? As he did aforetime. It was a habit to him. And I share with you today that prayer must be a priority to where it actually becomes such a part of you. The reason why a lot of people don't pray is never become a habit. It don't be a habit because you don't want to do it or you got other things. Now turn with me to the 9th chapter of the same book. Now we'll be different places, but we're here in the 9th chapter. And I want to look there at those first 5 verses. We're going to other places as well because that's a strange place to pick up on prayer, but I think it's important. Let's say prayer is a priority that must become a habit. When I come to this chapter, we find over here in verse 1 of chapter 9, in the year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books. Now underline the books. The books of the Old Testament. He'll quote from Jeremiah, so forth. And the number of years which the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Now, I'm going to read more later, but get this. Prayer becomes a priority. In order for it to be the kind of priority you need in your life, prayer must be grounded in the Word of God. Now, how did I learn how to pray? You say, well, the Spirit of God, I got the instructions from the Word of God, written by the Spirit of God. I realized there, prayer must be grounded in the Word of God. He understood by the books, that's the Word of the Lord. The Bible is where you learn how to pray. You got to study the book. You got to learn to study the book. Prayer and the book are like Siamese twins. They go together, and you cannot neglect either one of them. But notice something else here. You look there in verse 2, we find that prayer is not only be grounded in the Word of God in order for it to become a habit, but it is guided by the will of God. It's got to be guided by the will of God. I want you to notice something here in verse 2 again. The last part of and I'll read the verse again. The first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books, that's the Word of God, of the years where the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. He's here a quote from Jeremiah chapter 25, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Now, what he was saying is this. For 70 years, they're going to be in the Babylonian captivity. Now, what's important about that? The Word of God, the prayer is guided by the Word. You cannot pray for something that is not based on the Word of God. I mean, those people could have prayed all they want. Lord, deliver us from those 70 years. No, God said it's going to happen. Matter of fact, in the 29th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, you'll find that he said, just relax. Just understand it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You see, it's guided by the Word of God. You cannot change what God says. Now, I would tell you, now and then I will hear some woman preach. The only problem with that, she can't preach scripturally. Why? No matter how much, ladies, I got news for you, you'll never be a pastor. You can't do it. It's contrary. It's got to be guided by the Word of God. Fellows, you can get all kinds of you thinks revelation, but I got news for you. You can't be a prophet today. Those days are over. This church is a nonprofit organization both ways. And so you can't do that today. What I'm trying to say is prayer is, in order for it to have the priority and the authority it needs, it's got to be not only grounded in the Word of God, but it's got to be guided by the Word of God. And it is given to those in fellowship with God. Look at the thirdly here. Look at verse 4. After he makes these statements, verse 3, that is, verse, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, and I pray to the Lord. He wanted to be sure there wasn't any sin. I got news for you, folks. There's something between you and God. When you go to prayer, you ain't going to be able to pray. I know that's wrong grammar, but that's okay. You're not going to be able to do it. Psalm 66, verse 4, 18 and 19. Take a moment. We're going to go back to that passage where we are. But go to Psalm 66 for just a moment. And look with me there in verse 18 and 19. Boy, I'm thankful for verse 19. It follows verse 18. Verse 18 said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, what? The Lord will not hear me. Then he says, but verily God hath heard me. When you go to prayer, you need to be sure that you're in the will of God, even as Daniel made sure that things were right between him and God. So prayer has got to be grounded in the Word of God. It's based on the Bible. It must be guided by the will of God. You can't pray anything contrary to the will of God. I suppose there are people today who are praying for Israel to be defeated, Israel to be destroyed. Ain't going to happen. They're God's chosen people. He's made promises, and you can't go against the Word of God. Prayer must be given to those in fellowship. I have to confess, starting a prayer, and the Lord stopped me. The Lord says, now, Stevens, don't go on. You got some things you got to deal with here. I got to deal with them in your heart, and he did. And fourthly, prayer is to be granted to the humble. That's the fourth thing we get out of this passage there. Notice here the names of God here. Look at them. There are three primary names of God, and all three of them are mentioned in verse 3 and verse 4. That interesting? I set my face unto the Lord. That's the capital L, little O, little R, D. That's Adonai. He is the servant, he is the master, and we are what? Servants. He's talking about humility here. You're all familiar, are you not, with John 3:30? He must what? Increase, and I must decrease. Never turn that one around. Never say, we must increase, and he and decrease, and he must increase. Don't turn that around. The only way to humble ourselves is to put him, increase him in our life. And prayer is increasing him in our life where we become humble and dependent upon him. That's Adonai. He's our master. Then he uses here the second word. Look there in verse 4. And I pray to the Lord. That's all capitals. That's Jehovah. He is my mediator. I have a God in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, that I can go to prayer to. And I'm so thankful for that. And then the word God is the word for Elohim. He's my maker. He's all three of these. And when I think about him, when I think of those three names, it humbles me. Who am I praying to? I'm praying to my master. I'm praying to my mediator. I'm praying to my maker. Everything about me he made. And that should humble us. Prayer, our priority, that must become a habit. R, relying more on God than yourself. You know, we think we can do it, but we can't. Turn with me now from there to the book of Psalms. Go to the fifth chapter of the book of Psalms with me, because we not only see the priority that must become a habit, and when you see that he grounded in his word, that makes it a habit, guided by his will, that becomes a habit, given by those in fellowship, when I'm in fellowship with him, and granted to those who are humble in spirit, God takes over. I have to be honest with you. A few times I said, Lord, I don't feel like praying. Do you ever say, Lord, I don't feel like praying besides me? You know, there are two times when you pray. When you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. Get close to the Lord. But when I come to the fifth chapter of the book of Psalms, I want you to notice some things here. Three things that I see in this text dealing with prayer. Rely more on yourself. Now, David, who wrote this psalm here, was in trouble. David was in a lot of trouble, right? Always fighting the battles. But look at verse 1, because here I see holy boldness. You know, the closer I get to God, I hope this doesn't come out wrong. I don't mean that I'm irreverent, but I could just talk to him like a close friend. But if you're not close to him, you don't feel that way. Look here. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditations. Now notice he's talking about the hearing and the heart. When he says give ear, now it's an interesting word. It means, Lord, I want to make sure you hear me. Couple your ear. Make sure, Lord, you hear every word that I'm saying. Now, that's a strange way to talk to God. As you probably know by now, I have a terrible hearing problem. I wore hearing aids for a while, but they wore out, and I'm not sure I'm going to get any more. But Marilyn's always saying, you can't hear me. She thinks at times I do it on purpose. I don't do it on purpose. You listening, honey? I don't do it on purpose. I remember when I got the hearing aids about 9 years ago, I would be in churches, helping 13 different churches, and I'd walk up to somebody, and they wanted to tell me about what's going on, and I'd listen, and I couldn't understand what half they said. I remember they could walk to me and say, my husband died, and I said, well, that's nice. I wouldn't hear him, so you understand what I'm saying? God says, David says, cup your ear. Make sure you get every word. Now, that's holy boldness. We can have holy boldness as we go before our God because of who he is. And the word meditation deals with the heart. The ear, that's hearing, but the heart. Someone said it well when he said, better to have heart without words than to have words without heart. The word meditation is not necessarily the words you say, but what you're saying within yourself, in your heart there. And so he came to God, and I hope when we come to God in prayer, we come with holy boldness and recognizing who he is. Then he came to him with a heavy burden. Look at verse 2. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King, my God, for unto thee will I pray. He was in trouble. And he prayed, he had a heavy burden. Then notice, I like this next verse. My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer and look up. We need to lift up our voice and look up. Lift up and look up every morning. I like what John Phillips says about this verse. He says, verse 3 is, good morning, Lord. That's prayer. Good morning, Lord. He ought to be the first one that you think about in the morning. I love my wife, but she's the second person in my life. God's number one. And he's got to be, if I make him number one, she's a very important part of my number two. Amen? Say that about your spouse as well. First person to meet in the morning is God. Now, I know that many of you, particularly if you're teachers, you got to get to school and work and teach and all that, but let me say this. Before you do anything, say, good morning, Lord. Take over. Direct your prayer to him. Lift up, look up. If you don't pray, you'll look down. Never before have I seen so many people downhearted. As I told you one other time, I told the last church I preached in somewhere, I said the holidays are hard on people. that aren't close to the Lord and don't know how to pray. They really are. They tell me more people will commit suicide in November, December, and January than all the other months together. I know a little bit about that. My brother on December 25th, 1957, ended his life with a gun because he couldn't handle life anymore. I'm the one that found him. What a tragic day for my life, but I often wonder many times, where is my brother? Is he saved or not? I wasn't saved myself. And so we see here, second, rely more on God than yourself. How many of you have ever gotten up grumpy? Raise your hand, get right with the Lord. Okay. You get up. I mean, you get full of self. All the things you got to do that day. No, let him increase. You decrease, but you will never decrease until he increases and you spend that time close with him in the most wonderful experience of all, prayer. Ask. This is the third letter. Do we see not only do we have a priority that must be a habit, relying on more on God than self, but asking God to do what you cannot do. I was thinking over there in John 4. I want you to turn to the New Testament now and turn to John 4. I think that's right. John 4. You ever draw a blank, preacher? Huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, I do it quite a lot. I do it quite a lot. Look at, no, I'm wrong. Luke 9. Luke 11. I'll try it again. I feel like I'm gambling, doesn't it? Throwing out something here. Yeah. Luke 11th chapter. There, I got it going. You're familiar with that, aren't you? There are three words in Luke 11, verse 9, about asking. You know, if you look at there, let's read the verse. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek, the first word is ask, second word is seek. You shall find knock and it shall be opened. And those three words are all in the present tense verb. Somebody told me one time when I was going through college, he said, you don't have to keep asking for the thing, same thing. I don't know where he got that idea. Oh, I'm a dumb enough to know that I have to ask all the time. But that word ask here has the idea of personally. Personally, you have not. Why? Because you personally do not ask, says the James chapter 4, verse 20. You have not. You have to ask. You personally do that. I hear people all the time down through my ministry talk about, I hope that guy gets saved. And I asked one fellow one time, I said, do you ever pray for him? You ever ask him? He said, you know. He started just tears coming down his cheek. He said, you know, you're right. You're right. The second word, so the first word has the idea of being personally asking God. And then when you do that, you don't give in to the flesh. Your flesh says, don't pray. I'm talking about this body we live in. I have to news for you. There are many other things we'd like to do other than pray. But when you make a habit of prayer, you won't feel that way any longer. You're going to say, no. There's nothing more serious than that, more than I need than this. Then he says, here, seek. And whereas the flesh deals with personally coming to him, the word seek means patiently waiting for God to answer. I've been praying for my brother for 62 years to be saved. I'll never forget the first time we sat down with him and talked to him after I got saved. And he said, I don't want anything to do with that. Nothing to do with that, John. I'm an atheist or an agnostic. I can't remember what he said. But now he's softening up. I sent him a Bible. I pray for him. I talk to him once or twice a month on the phone. And I have hearing problems, but he's worse than me. Don't give to the flesh. Don't give over to failure. Patiently believing God. I'm patiently believing God's going to save him. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, folks, that's the idea of seeking. Patiently believing God is going to do it. And then knock. That's being persistent. Persistent. Don't give up your faith. Don't say, listen, don't say, well, I remember years ago, I had a fella saved in our church. His name was Don. Our first church I pastored. John was rough. And I told the deacons what happened. They said, well, two of them said, I don't believe it. I said, well, I've been persistently praying for him. And I believe when he trusted Christ, and it took a while for him to get any growth in his life. I remember the time I had evangelist Jim Cook at our home, and I said, Don, why don't you come on over and eat with us, you and your wife and your family. He said, okay. And when we came over, he had brought a couple hams, had a couple hams with him. So as we were eating, I had a piece of ham in my mouth when he said this. He said, oh, I'm glad to do it, preacher. I won those in a poker game. You know, we ate them anyway. Just growing, seeing God. So you not only have a priority, prayer's got to be a priority. You must not only do that, but rely more on him. Oh, listen. But you must ask God what you cannot do. I couldn't save Don. You talked about that earlier. About we can't save people, but we know who can. There are many things in my life that I cannot do, you cannot do. Asking, seeking. The fourth letter here is the letter Y, yielding to God's will. You know there are five ways God answers prayer. Did you know that? Here they are. Let me write them down. Sometimes he answers prayer pretty direct. Before you can put an amen to that prayer, God answers that prayer. How many have had that happen? I've had that happen. He just got it out, works it out. Sometimes it's different. The answer's different. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm glad that many of my prayers have not answered the way I prayed them. Now, you may say, I'm glad they answered the way. Well, you must be closer than I am. I made some blunders in my prayer time. But I'm glad over in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, the Holy Spirit, I believe, edits our prayers. And he interprets our prayers for us. Hallelujah for that. They're different. Sometimes they're delayed. I remember a fellow by the name of Joe Hauser. I was in a church in Santa Maria, California, second church I pastored. And his wife called me one day, and Joe was a tough one too. And she said, Joe's dying. They don't give you much longer. Could you go and try to win him to Christ? Well, I went into that room. I could tell he was looked to me like a semi-coma. A conscious state. And I said, Joe, John Stevens here. Joe, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. And I kept repeating that word. And then I took him to what I call the Romans Road. And then I walked out of that room, and the nurse says, I'm not too sure he'd be with us much longer. Well, God did something. He got well. I'll never forget the day Joe showed up at church. Now, you have to understand, Joe hated churches, hated pastors, everything. He showed up to church, and he said, Preacher, I need to get baptized. I said, well, Joe, you need to get saved first. He said, you led me to Christ. Man, I got Baptist-ical. God did that. I mean, that was a miracle. And he got saved, and he got baptized, and he came to church regularly till the Lord took him home. And I will forget it because his son called me after I led him to the Lord and after he got well, and his son said, I just can't believe Dad got saved. I said, well, get around him. He said, you're right, Dad. That's all he talks about is Jesus. That's a pretty good sign you're saved, isn't it? See, prayer performs miracles there. And we see that. It can be direct. It can be different. It can be delayed. It can be denied. Won't take time, but in 2 Corinthians 12 chapter, remember when Paul had a thorn in the flesh? You know, we don't know what his illness was. I'm glad we don't. I can hear us now. Yeah, but Paul didn't have as bad as I had it. We don't know for sure what was wrong. But God denied it. I remember when our handicapped daughter was born, Christina, now 53. I remember I wanted her healed. I wanted her healed. So you'd have no idea how I wanted that. And then when she got 4 years of age, she had the longest recorded seizure in California, 3.5 hours. It literally did her brain in. And she'd make a good politician today. She wouldn't know what they're doing either. But I remember praying, oh God. And I had people come up to me, said, what you need to do is take her to a faith healer. I said, I do that every day. My Lord is the greatest faith, and God has chosen not to heal Christina Stevens. But the fifth one, I want to take a moment and turn in your Bibles, and I hope I wrote it down. Psalm 106, let's try that. Psalm 106. And I want you to notice that, because God not only yielding to God's, whatever God's will is, direct, different, delayed, denied, get this, deserved. Sometimes God will get us what we deserve when we ask for it. Look over there in Psalm 106. And look there, if you will, please. Verse 13, but they soon forgot his works, chapter 106, and they sang his praises. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his course, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the temper. And he gave them what? Their request. But sin leaneth unto their soul. Sometimes God will give you what you want, but it will cost you what you have. And that's what happened to these. I'll be honest with you. I'd not pray for everybody to be healed. I don't. Preacher, people in the hospital, because, listen, they're going to go to heaven. I think we got to be very careful how we pray for people. I often thought about Christina. I don't know what Christy could have, you know, she could have, something could have happened. She could have went way off into the world, but you know, God said, I'll take her home. She'll be safe. Or take her mind home. Her body's going to go later. Yielding to God's will, whatever is it. When you pray, put it in his hands. And pray that you don't get what you deserve, what you asked for. And then E is entering into God's world. You know, there are three worlds we live in. There are three worlds. Are you familiar with the three worlds? There's the physical world. I love this time of year, the fall season. I know most of you think that's a purple tie, but to me it's blue. Can't help it if you're colorblind. But seriously, I like the different colors as long as they're orange and yellow on the trees. I love that time. I love spring. That's the physical world. But there's not only a physical world, there's a fallen world. This world belongs to Satan in every way. We find it in the I'll get it in a minute. The whole world lieth in wickedness. In John 5:19. The present evil world, Luke or Galatians 1, verse 4. This world is wicked, folks. It's a wicked world. Anybody here want to deny that? So we got a physical world that I love. I love the South. I all except for the language. You know, I don't. There's three or four languages I've worked on down through the years: English, Greek. But Southern's been my hardest to get down. But I want you to know there's a Father's world. prayer is leaving the fallen world and going to the Father's world so that you will meet the challenges of the physical world when you go away from prayer. You hear what I just said? It's not profound. But here we have prayer is leaving a fallen world in your spirit. Leaving it, not in your body, but in your spirit. Being lifted up to that Father's world so you can come back down. Meet the challenges of the fallen world. The physical world. I don't know about you, but I love feeling good. How many love feeling good? Prayer, I feel good. When I pray, I feel good. Because I've met with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And all of a sudden, all those other problems don't nearly mean as bad. Make it. And then as we conclude here with the R, turn with me to Matthew 11, very familiar verse. And as I look at this chapter 11, I look over there in verse 28, 29, and 30 because there's a real message there. Resting in God and all that He is. You know what prayer is? Prayer is resting in God and all that He is. Prayer is just resting in Him. I mean, we get anxious, we worry, we fret. But when you go to prayer, guess what? God is there to give you rest in those moments of prayer. I want you to notice He deals with the source of exhaustion there in verse 28. He says, come, that means through prayer. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. The word heavy laden means to be weighed down. To be weighed down. Labor is trying to do what only God can do. Trying to do it yourself. I don't know many times in my life I've tried to do it myself. I've failed every time. I need Him. So the source of exhaustion, weighed down. You know, if you do a good day of heavy work, you can rest a night, but when you let your mind just get exhausted, your spirit get exhausted, you're trying to do it yourself. I will never forget, and I'm not going to spend time on it, but when I come to this month, I think about how God took us through the lawsuit in Charleston, South Carolina. By all human standards, right, Dennis, to Dr. Clemens, we should never have made it through there. God took us through that. Matter of fact, I was not the only one sued. You were sued, weren't you? Matter of fact, I turned your name in to be sued. But anyway, we went through that horrible time. God took us through it. Rest. Notice the seat of exhaustion. Where is it? It's your soul. It's not your body. It's your soul. Your soul. And then he talks about the solution. As he deals with the source, the seat, the solution. Take my yoke. Look there as we look and close. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. It's a very interesting word here. What they would do, they would take an oxen, and they'd yoke him with a yoke, and they'd take a younger ox and attach it to the bigger ox, and guess what? The bigger ox was doing all the work, and the little guy was learning. That's the way it is in the Christian life. We learn from Him as we yoke ourselves to Him. Thank the Lord. So I say to you tonight as we close, thank you for the priority, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for we can rely upon you more than ourselves. We can ask you, use those three key words in Luke 11, yielding our will for whichever one of the four. Now, the fifth one, don't ask for things. Expect God, things that are wrong, and you're going to wind up paying the price. Enter into the world, enter His world. I live in this physical world. I live around all this fallen world. But I can go up to the Father's world. And then, thank God, I can find rest in Him. I will say today, don't meet with yourself in the morning. Meet with God. Say, good morning, God. Glad to hear in prayer. Even now, as you go, some of you have to get to classes, some of you got to do this, but spend those few moments before you do anything else. It'll be different.